Hello, this is Jay Nemro. Is everything all right? Okay. You're listening to The Life Autistic, of course. This is episode number 629. And I'm getting ready. You know, first I was thinking about doing the radio station and decided that wasn't the best thing to do. Incidentally, if you want me to come and speak to your group, I have forgotten for a few episodes to talk about this. And if you think that I have suddenly become so popular that I'm not willing to do it more often, well, you're wrong, but that's okay. It's alright. There's still repentance available to you. The phone number to contact me if you want me to come and speak to your group, it's 575, this is the United States, area, you know, country code 1, 575-461-2716. If you prefer the first contact to be by email, or if you just want to make a comment, want to say hi, I want to hear if you're listening. You can email me at autism, AUTISM, at quix.us. Well, now that I'm done thinking about doing radio, and I'm not gonna do my own radio station. If I end up doing a radio show, well, that's that. I was looking up last night, I was trying to clarify, because you probably heard that right at the 1st of April, now that April's over, and we're into May, I heard of my affirmations. One of my affirmations, I want to be a successful writer, lecturer, and speaker. Most people know what writer and speaker is. The whole term lecturer is a little murky, and I will give a clarification as to what I mean by that. When I wrote it down, the picture I had in my head, I actually went up and looked it up on Wikipedia, and of course they had 500 trillion different ways of looking at it. It's different in England, it's different here in the United States. It's called different things at different places. But what I'm talking about is kind of a guest, almost a guest teaching gig, you know, usually for less than a year. You go and you become a guest lecturer at some university. It's usually because you're a celebrity or it's something that, you know, you really want, you know, it's supposed to bring prestige to the school and attract a lot of people. And so that's of the three things, that one is the most challenging. I can only imagine that will happen after I write something that's just so, you know, amazingly brilliant, who knows what it's ultimately going to be. But that people will want to, you know, some university will say, let's get Jay Nemro here, and he's going to attract some students. Dude, because let's get serious. Isn't that what college is about when it gets down to it? I mean, you can all talk about, you know, oh, you know, we are all about the learning and preparing people for their future roles in the world. And you go, man, that's a bunch of crap. It's all about the freaking money, man. Especially being a guest lecturer. Which is what I was talking about when I was talking about being a writer, lecturer, and speaker. So there it is. Although I always kind of pictured the lecture thing. You know, I don't mean to say that I don't want feedback. I said, but you know what? I'm not big on the question and answer periods particularly. If people don't like what I say, they can feel free to go out, get up on the stump, and say what they think. And they can chastise me all they want to while the stump is theirs. But while the stump is mine, that's what they do. Now, I'm not precluding the fact that people can ask me questions. That I can get into kind of a forum type of place, and that's it. But I was thinking about politics this morning. Because, you know, I'm trying to make this thing come to pass. And I said, you know what? Politicians get the chance to be lecturers, politicians get the chance to be speakers. They get on the speaking circuit. Washed up politicians. Does that sound right? Washed up politicians? Well, they're not doing political, you know, they aren't running for office anymore. I would have to say make up the bulk of what these things, of the people that become writers, lecturers, and speakers. You know, that kind of thing. It's almost like, well, that follows a political career. And, you know, you need to become a politician. And I'm, you know, and my political bent is more libertarian. I am a libertarian. You know, you can say, well, Jay leans to the left, Jay leans to the right, but by and large, he's a pretty solid libertarian. Might have some leanings this way or that way, depending on how you take it, since everybody seems to think that there's only two ways of being, and I proclaim the third that says, I want liberty, and the goals of the Democrats or the goals of the Republicans have nothing to do with that. They're not interested. They're more interested in how much government power can be given to which group. You know, there are conservative groups that want more power, and there are liberal groups that want more power. And there's no place for somebody who says, no, I don't want either one of them. I don't want anybody to have power. I want them to all fall over and just go slink back to where they came from. I want to be the politician that closes the door at the end of the day and says, job well done, because the doors are closed. Maybe we won't open tomorrow. Maybe the Senate just won't show up. Maybe the Congress just won't happen. Of course, you know, the most visible libertarian that there is, libertarian-minded person, is Ron Paul at the moment, which is interesting because you could say, you ever heard of Ron Paul? And they go, oh, I've heard of Ron Paul. I guess that's understandable if all you do is listen to 30 minutes of news a day put out by television stations or something like that. You know, if you're not, say, for instance, a news junkie, I'd have to say that you probably don't have a clue about who Ron Paul is. But Ron Paul's the most successful one. He is running as a Republican. And he is, you know, and he is still unknown. He ran for president some years ago as a Libertarian. There's a Libertarian Party, third party. Well, all of them are collectively called third parties, anyone that aren't the Republicans and the Democrats. And, you know, went down in a blaze of glory and practically no votes at all. And so his decision this time was to run as a Republican, so at least he would have a chance to have something of a forum, at least during the Republican debates. He was the man, in case you didn't know who the name of the man was, he was the man that was always talking interesting things that nobody else wanted to talk about. He was always, he was the one that was against the war, which is unpalatable to Republicans. Republicans have decided that it's a war or nothing for them. Certainly the political candidates ended up being their take on the whole thing, you know. If we're not behind the war, well, that differentiates us from Democrats. And that's a true statement, you know. Democrats are against the war. The Republicans are for the war. And here was this guy, Republican, universally hated in Congress, not just by Democrats who don't like him, but also by Republicans who have tried as hard as they can, when he comes up for re-election to the House of Representatives, they throw all kinds of money and all kinds of you know, all kinds of support behind a non-incumbent, behind somebody who's supposed to take Ron Paul's place, because they don't like Ron Paul, don't like what he's saying, because he preaches against power. He wants to strip the government of its power and give it back to the people. Well, of course, I'm sorry. Politicians struggle with that because that's their power that he's playing with. The power of government rests in politicians. Yes? I guess that would be true. So, I would be along the lines of being a libertarian, much like Ron Paul is. There's some things upon which Ron Paul and I disagree. I am actually for open borders. I think it's foolish to try and stop people from coming across into our country. I do not believe in racial profiling on skin color. I think that's just dumb. We would have to eject every Hispanic person in the United States because we wouldn't know exactly where they stood. They would have to walk around constantly with papers in their hands. Hopefully not questioned and said, that's hard to say that they are American citizens as opposed to Mexicans and or Puerto Ricans or Cubans or Nicaraguans or somebody from South America. Any of those things. They would have to prove the fact that they were Americans. They have to carry papers. Show them to any random police officer that stops them. In my town, that would constitute a big problem because my town is over 50% Hispanic. There's more Hispanics in my town than anything else. White people are a minority in Tucumcari, New Mexico. That's okay, because most people think New Mexico is not even a part of the United States. And I'm not going to answer to questions of, are people intelligent? I'm not going to answer that. It's not useful. People don't know. It's not because they're dumb. It's because they don't know. That brings up the whole concept of, why are we so gung-ho about our schools, when it's really obvious that our schools struggle mightily with what we would consider the most basic things. Basic intelligence seems to be beyond them. Now, I'm not willing to go after teachers especially. I'm not willing to go after administrators especially. I am perfectly willing to go after the system. And if you haven't heard the podcast before, I'll freely give you my solution to the problem. It's very simple. It's a change of one thing that will make it all work. You can offer anything else in exchange to make everybody feel better. But if they concede on this one thing, all of a sudden, things will change at school beyond all comprehension. And here it is. I would write a law to make school non-compulsory. Now, if you don't understand what that means you don't have to go to school. Now, you might not even know that you have to go to school. You just figure everybody wants to. And that's okay. If you really want to go to school, go ahead and go. There's plenty of people that if it came back and it said, you know, you don't have to go to school. It's not required. We're not going to come chase you down. We're not going to make your life miserable if you choose not to. We're going to just, you know, whoever wants to go to school, it's there. Is that. Now, a whole lot of people will go, well, what? I understand why it's a big deal. Now, you'd be amazed, the teachers' unions, if they heard that such a thing was being touted, they would go absolutely bonkers against it. No way! No way! You have to force those kids to go to school! You gotta do it! You gotta do it! See, and you would start seeing that all these people that you thought were so loving and kind and gentle and doing all these things for the children, some of them would reveal themselves. Some of them would be absolutely flummoxed and say, I understand. What does that do? It's one of those things where I'd say where you can change one law, and it's almost like starting a line of dominoes falling. You know, you can touch the first one, and it, as it falls down, it knocks over the next one, and all of a sudden, all the dominoes fall down, you know, because they're arranged so that one will knock over the other. That's what would happen if this happened. There would be a whole bunch of things that would just start falling apart. And you wouldn't think that school was that vital to the way things are, you know, to the way we are, to the way we behave, to the way corporations work, to the way human services, welfare, stuff like that, how all those things work. How much people depend upon school not to educate. Now, I'm not saying that they depend on it not to educate. I mean, you find that their primary purpose for being supportive of school doesn't end up being education. It ends up being free child care. Someplace for their kids to go to get them out of their hair. Someplace to go so they can go into the workforce and make more money to, you know, have more things, to increase our personal economy. Start finding out that sending your kids to school becomes something of a selfish act that's clothed in goodness, right? It's kind of like having chocolate-covered sewage, you know. If you could roll that sewage into a ball and dip it in chocolate and make it look like one of those chocolate candies, you know, people will eat it and say good things about it, even though it tastes, it smells crappy once you break into through the chocolate, and it tastes worse. It doesn't matter. What matters is the chocolate covering, right? Even though what they're being offered is sewage, it doesn't matter. Because that's what it really comes down to. Now, you know, people will fight till their dying day to prop up a school system where their kids are bullied, where, you know, I haven't even pulled out my list in a while of all the just atrocious things that happen in school that school really doesn't particularly worry about. Let me give you an example in my own town. The school system here, everybody nods at the fact that there's something of a bullying problem here. Now, the school touts the fact that they are trying to do something, but you know what? Honestly, no, they're not. Do you know who's trying to do something about it? A group called the Maternal and Child Health Council. I know this because I used, you know, I think I continue to be a member of it. I haven't been able to attend meetings in ages. But I used to be very active. I used to do contract work for the council. And that was one of the things that they identified. We need to take care of the bullying problem. You know, they did all kinds of statistics to figure out that this is one of the problems in school. That's really obvious. My kids get bullied in school, too. The young ones that are still in school, after fifth grade, my kids tend to get homeschooled for a few years, and then they go to what's called house alternative school, which is kind of like school home study without all the trappings of school. I kind of call it pre-college, as opposed to, you know, going to school, being sequestered there for 7 hours a day, you know, shuffling around from class to class, whether you really want to or not, stuff like that. That's why I call it pre-college. Anyway, but because college is much different than school is. School, you are not sequestered. You are not forced to sit in that classroom. You know, you may take a grade hit for it, but there is no detention if you're not obedient. There is no, you know, there is no possibility of a truant officer coming after you. If you want to fail, they're perfectly willing to let you fail as long as you pay your tuition. And frankly, I think that's a good way to approach it. That's why I want school. If school can only change one rule, And it may slip by because they just don't understand their peril. So we can just say, kids don't have to go to your school. They don't have to go. If they want to, they can. Now, a lot of parents will continue to send their kids to school because they like the free child care. And that would be the primary reason why places like the teacher unions would be really upset about it. Would this be one of my platforms? Only if it comes up. Only if it comes, you know, people talk about, what are you going to do about education? Well, this is what I do about education. Jay is a candidate for any office. It doesn't matter which office it is. You know, it ends up being all about all that stuff. Kids, wouldn't it solve all the problems? If you had all the troubled kids that hated being at school, that wanted to break out all the time, that wanted to go eat lunch and smoke pot, you know, and do all those things, hey, guess what? You can do that. You just don't have school to fret with. You know, if you run away from school after you leave home, you know, Mom, I'm going to school, and you skip all day of school, nobody's going to turn them in. Nobody's going to get angry. That's the parents' responsibility. If the parents aren't doing what it takes to make sure their kids go to school, the ones that don't want to, why should that become school's concern? If you need something like that, send them to a military academy. Send them to a boot camp. Whatever. Send them someplace where they can't escape. But that's what you're paying those people for. And when the school teachers, for some strange reason, which at first glance will be incomprehensible, when they say, oh no, we can't do that, you know, we hate those bad kids, but we must have them here. We must have them here. And it's all tied to money, you know. You get paid by pupil. I would ask that we get rid of that. I would say every single person who's a teacher right now who got in, you can even give a little proviso for anybody who's starting a degree in education, will have a permanent job. Whatever job they have now, they get to keep it for eternity, even if they suck at it. Doesn't matter. Everybody gets tenure. Everybody can do whatever they want. We will double their salaries. Every single one of them. Just double their salaries right there. You're now going to, if you were making $40,000 a year yesterday, today you make $80,000. Triple their pension. So they, you know, make them feel as comfortable as you can. Say, your pay does not depend on the number of kids that you have. If there's only one kid at school and there's 25 teachers that are getting paid $80,000 a year, that's great. We love it. You know, try make it worth the teachers and administrators' while to let this happen. Say, we promise to do this. And people go, God, it's going to cost a lot of money. Where are you going to get the money from? I said, you don't care. You don't care now. Every time the school asks for more money now, you pony it up. You know, it's mostly poor people, you know, forcing rich people to pay for school for kids they don't have. You know, it's the poor people that produce all the kids. So it's like, you don't care. You don't care. And when it's all paid for, when there's more money going into schools, you know, triple the budget that's not teacher salaries, too. Go ahead. Triple all of it. Do it all. Make your teacher the most blessed, lionized, richest person in your town. Every single one of them. You know, now property taxes are going to have to go up pretty sizably. But then again, who cares? Who cares? It's for the kids, right? You don't have to worry about the renovations that will be needed at the school. You can pay for the first 10 years of it. But guess what? The kids will start to disappear. And of course, all those reasons. Now, I'm not doing this to be rude or to show something, to give kind of a sick example. But that school will wither up and die, even though the teachers are richer than everybody else in town, Now, you'll have to say, I'm sorry, we won't let there be any more teachers, you know. Once a teacher retires, that's over. We're, you know, all the teachers' colleges will have to shut down. Because these teachers will never leave their jobs. Would you leave your job? If somebody was saying, your job is going to get progressively easier. Because all those problem kids you used to deal with that didn't want to be there, they're going to start disappearing. Because you can tell the parents, hey, your kid's a problem child. I don't want to deal with them. And so, goodbye. I don't know if we'll go that far. But you'll slowly see the kids leave. Not because teachers aren't wonderful and fantastic like we've always said they were. Or maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's true, maybe that's not. I'm not here really to say. You don't have to say. You'll just see it. Enrollment in public schools is dropping. Enrollment in places where people have to pay money to have their kids taught is going to go up. And you're going to go, what? So wait, free stuff they won't take. Paid stuff they will. What on earth? See, and it's because, I'm sorry, the only value that school has, the only way that school really keeps going, keeps alive, keeps busy, is when the students are slaves to it. When they have to go, whether they want to or not, when parents are told that they will be punished if they send their kids to school or not. That's the way it works. I'm at my destination. I didn't even begun to talk about what I was going to talk about. My kids are about ready to come out here and say all kinds of things to me. I need to go. This is Jay Nemro. You're listening to Life Autistic. This is episode number 629 of another wonderful thing that doesn't get done. And Jay will probably not become a politician, but, you know, intriguing idea. And maybe we'll play with it for a little while longer. And... It's episode 629. Have a great day.